call this the gospel of desperation. People, the power of one desperate prayer. These people got Jesus' attention amidst a huge crowd that were just passing along with him. They were in his company, but were they touched by him? Did they listen? But these people did. Mark's got this, all this incredible detail. We can really enter into the gospel itself. He paints a picture so vivid that we can actually be there. And Jesus is, he's moving from place to place on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And many places there, you've got, Mark makes the notice of the fact, many things that the other two Gospels, who have also picked up this story, have left out. And they do that because they've only got so much of a scroll to work with. So they're very careful with their words. But Mark has the power of these words, and he points out that they're near the sea. And then they've got a road up here. There isn't much room, so people are packed in at this point. It's one of the narrow spots along the path between here and there. I've been to a few of them, and I know some of those places exist where it can be a little tough to get a large crowd through there. Jesus is going from place to place, and people have seen miracles, and they're listening to him. He's speaking, he's acting, and he's just talking and walking. And Jairus comes up very dramatically and kneels before him and said, "My daughter is near death." And so off they go. And Jesus goes off to heal him, and people come with him. They think they're going to see something interesting. So, in a way, the star of this story is this hemophiliac woman. She is given much more attention in Mark. We know a lot of things about her, actually, more than you might think at first. She is probably a very wealthy woman, because she's gone to many doctors. Doctors were very expensive in those days. Only rich people went there. She's gone to many doctors. She has an affliction that she cannot cure, and she's seeking a cure. Have you ever had something that you can't get answered, and you keep seeking and seeking and seeking? She's a seeker. She's not going to give up. So she's a woman of means. She's probably got some education, or at least some background. She's not dumb, but she's going to do something very foolish. What drove her to such foolishness? "If only I can touch his cloak." Where did she get that idea? And she has gone to even further desperate lengths. She has used up all of her money, which undoubtedly was quite a bit. And the other two gospel writers, particularly Luke, takes the little bit about the many doctors out, because Luke himself was a physician, that thought, "I'm not going to put that part into my gospel." Suffered at the hands of many doctors. That one didn't make it into those two gospels. But anyway, she suffered because she didn't find what she was looking for. And the doctors are just a symbol of the human condition. We're looking and looking and trying things and spending our money, and what are we getting for this? Sometimes we think we're satisfied. She's not satisfied. She's got a condition that makes her ritually impure in Jewish law. So she must go forward. She can't fully participate in Jewish life with this problem. It's not fair to her. But that's the way it is. So finally, she's so desperate, she says to herself, somebody says to her, "Jesus is coming. I hear he's a faith healer." You know, if we have a big faith healer, Catholic faith healer comes to town, everybody will pack him in, you know, want to see something or get something. And she, like so many others, has this idea, but she doesn't want to speak out loud what she has. See, Jairus is not afraid. He says, "My daughter is near death. Will you come?" He's not afraid. He's got faith. It's an edgy thing to say. She, on the other hand, doesn't want to come forward, running forward and say, "I'm constantly bleeding." Everybody would pull back. they'd be ritually impure just to touch her. She wants to do something more discreet. She just says, if I just touch him, I will be cured. This is a very desperate prayer. This is a woman that is at the end of her rope. She would never have done this if she hadn't tried everything else. So God has somehow come along at just the right moment for her desperate prayer. If she hadn't had that background, she might not have been driven to do this rather ridiculous thing that the Holy Spirit was inspiring her to do. So she comes up and touches him, you know. And here again, only Mark has this detail, and that's why I love to bring this up the third year when this comes out. Jesus, for his part, stops. You got this entourage, some of whom are not paying any attention, but suddenly when Jesus stops, they all stop. And he says, who touched me? And of course the disciples say, what do you mean who touched you? There's a crowd around here. Everybody's touching you. He said, who touched me? And this woman knew she was found out. So now she's afraid. And the worst thing, you know, the thing she did not want happens. The whole crowd goes quiet and watches her while she comes up in fear and trembling. She's afraid of public speaking, you know. And there she is. It was me. And it doesn't record her saying anything, actually. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. The thing about this story that I think is relevant to us is, first of all, that God works with the desperate. There are times, I'm sure God would prefer to answer our prayers in other ways, but many times human beings don't turn to God until they've tried everything else. Or they think they can do it themselves. They've got money, they've got access to things. Doctors, they go all over the place. We've tried all kinds of things to try to figure out what to do. Eventually we ask for help, and we finally might come to God. God works with our search. He watches us looking around in the wrong places, like a child that needs to learn. He's guiding her through all these perambulations that she's been going through. Her desperation has led her to God. And so can ours. God will be waiting there at that moment for us to choose him, but we still have to choose him in faith. We always have that free will to say, no, I know you're the only offer in town, but I'd rather do it myself. The Lord says, it's a very foolish thing to say, but we do have that choice. The other thing to note there is that when Jesus is touched, very curious, again, Mark, who's writing probably the first of the four Gospels, he makes this very curious statement that power flows out of Jesus without his conscious participation. Now that's very interesting. It's kind of like an answering machine you call and it gets an automatic response, you know. I'll be away until next 60. You know, it's like Jesus didn't consciously heal her. It happened because she touched him in faith. So whenever I come forward to God with legitimate faith, it's always going to touch Jesus, and he will always respond with grace. It may not be an immediate response like that, but it will come. It always reaches God, and it gets an automatic response. Faith is the automatic answering machine for Jesus that he will answer one way or another. I think that's the great mystery of this gospel. Both characters, Jairus and this woman, had faith, and it led them in different directions. Both of them were desperate. Both of them needed something. And here is Christ. He was there, available. How many of us have passed Jesus and we don't recognize him? Almost every gospel points out that Jesus is the person around us that is in need, something like this. And we reach out to them because of Jesus. We're going to get a reward. Grace will come back. In the scriptures, it's as if Jesus is passing by on the road here. If we reach out, we can hear him. In our desperate prayers, this is where we find God. And in the Eucharist, who he passes through us, have I reached out in faith or have already moved on to the parking lot here at Mass? Many people on that road that day had Jesus in their company, but nothing changed when he walked past them. So we have to ask ourselves, can I touch Jesus on a regular basis? We can't physically touch him. But I can touch him in faith when I'm in a challenging situation and I say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm placing it in your hands. I'm desperate, but I'm going to trust you. Here's my problem. Now I'm going to thank you. These are the things that really please God. They touch him, and they bring an automatic connection with the Lord in our lives.